Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Well, speaking of Dave, let's move to another David, a David in the Bible. And if you'll find 1 Samuel chapter 16, we'll start in just a moment. 1 Samuel 16, it would also help if you have this little piece of paper entitled, Like David, Receive God's Call to Serve His Purpose. And so that will be our goal today. I'll tell you a funny story. We were on a family trip around Christmas, and we'd gone out to the mountains, and we were in this mountain lodge, and we had the best time. After the end of 5 days, we were packing up, and we were going to leave the next morning. And my daughter, Alex, who is a very responsible missionary, as you know, she came and announced, and she said, Dad, Mom, I have lost my retainer. And so I said, oh, bummer. You know, probably I wrapped it in a napkin, and it's just somewhere in the trash. And said, well, you and Mary Austin try to go find it. And so off they went, and 30 minutes, 45 minutes later, they finally came back in discouraged and said, we cannot find it. We have looked through all the trash, just can't find it. I said, let me go find it. So I went out there, and 15 minutes, I came back with it. I found that retainer, sure enough, wrapped in a napkin in the bottom of a trash bag. You see, they were looking for a piece of plastic. I was looking for $300. That was the difference. So I found it. Now here's the point. You generally find what you're looking for. For instance, we learn in Psalm 42, David said, as the deer pants for water, because of this deep thirst. Oh God, that's how I pant for you. I long for you. I want to have this personal, intimate walk with you, my living creator God. You see, David was looking for God and he found him. And frankly, my friend, that same offer, that same invitation is being extended to you today, right now. Look at the title. You see, God, he is calling you. And he wants you to experience the joy and the fulfillment of serving his purpose. In order to prepare for hearing and receiving and doing that calling, let's do a heart exam. And the way we do it is let's begin by inviting God to do a heart exam. Remember Psalm 139, oh God, examine my heart and see if there's any hurtful way in me. We're going to learn as we study this important passage in 1 Samuel 15, verse 7, that God does not look on the outside. God looks at the heart. Now, this is a very dangerous prayer for you to pray, but I would suggest today, in this moment, you say, oh God, let me see myself as you see me. Oh God, make this moment your mirror so that I can see myself through your eyes. Because if you will do that, then God will help you become a person after his own heart so that you can serve his purposes. Please again refer to your outline in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. You'll find this great truth. And God made David their king, and he testified concerning him, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Well, in just a moment, let's read from 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. But let me reset the stage for you. Always remember this. God is real, his word is true, and the theme is redeem. Now let that sink down in your spirit. God is real. His word is true, so you can trust it. And the whole theme of the Bible is to redeem. God is in the business of restoring fallen, broken, wounded people. He wants to make lost people found and graft us into his family. So what did he do after the fall? He started a family with a man named Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. They find themselves in Egypt. They go from 63 to 2 million. Moses leads them to the promised land. and hands the baton off to Joshua. They conquered Jericho. They conquered the lands. And for a period, God gives them instructive judges, 13 in all, and the last one is a man named Samuel. Samuel was born of Hannah, and Samuel has his heart tuned to the heart of God. And so God says, Samuel, I want you to anoint a king for the people. Now God said, I would prefer to be your king, but they clamored and cried out for a king. It's a good example of how God has a perfect will and a permissive will for our lives. His perfect will would have been for them to allow God to be their king. His permissive will was to allow them to join the neighborhood of nations and have an earthly king. Well, they anointed Saul. Samuel went to Saul. He was a great, big, handsome, strapping guy, and he was made the king. But Saul proved to be unreliable and disobedient. So God said, Samuel, I want you to go anoint a new king. So he sends him to the house of Jesse. Pick up the story right there. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. Please pick up in verse 6. And it came about that when they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his outward appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and he made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Next Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Samuel said to Jesse, are these all your children? He said, well, there remains yet the least, the youngest, David. He is tending the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him. We will not sit down until he comes. So he sent and he brought David in. He was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. The Lord said, arise and anoint David, for this is the one. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward, and Samuel went to Ramah. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, I pray that you would get me out of the way so that your Spirit could do what it did in the life of David, touch, anoint, and transform. Father, I pray that your Spirit would take your living word and visit every receptive heart right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, here's the goal. Let's identify the characteristics of the person God chooses to use, because I want to be in that category. I know you want to be in that category. You want to be that person that God uses for his purpose. Let's begin with number one. God uses people who develop their faith. God uses people who develop their faith. You see, David was not chosen because of his face or his physique, his fitness, his finances, his fragrance. He was not chosen for any exterior qualities, but the interior quality of his faith. Scripture says that faith is the most important. Look on your scripture outline there. We learn in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, basing the selection on the interior of faith instead of the exteriors is very refreshing, because we live in a culture that is very much exterior based. We live in a culture that looks constantly on the outside. We live in a very image-conscious culture. I was doing some reading the other day, and I bumped into an odd factoid. It said there are 25,000 beauty contests in America every year. 25,000. Now, that simply affirms what I'm talking about, that we put a lot of esteem on the exterior, on the outside. Now, one of the most interesting beauty contests is right here in Alabama, and it's held every year just a few miles south of us in Op. Have you heard of the Op Rattlesnake Roundup? Have you heard of it? Did you know to have a rattlesnake roundup, of course, you have to have a rattlesnake queen? Now, it's not the guy on the right, by the way. I feel sure that he may be the king of the roundup, and he's got that big old snake in his hand. But the young lady, if you look close at the sash, Miss Op Rattlesnake Queen. Now, wouldn't that be a resume builder for you ladies to achieve that kind of lofty title of being the Op Rattlesnake Queen? Well, don't just think that this kind of exterior beauty seeking is limited to the American culture. It's everywhere. It's throughout the world. It's what we're eating up with. I read this great story about a new International Mission Board missionary who went to Ethiopia. They flew into Addis Ababa and they went out to an unreached people group in the northern part of Ethiopia. And when they met this missionary, he came along with his wife, and all of the tribal men, they were very concerned because his wife was very slim and fit and trim. And they said that his wife being so slim and fit and trim was a very bad reflection on his provision. She was just too skinny. Because in their country, in their culture, they considered a larger woman very beautiful. As a matter of fact, here was their proverb. They said, if a man's wife was to sit upon a sitting camel, and the camel struggled when he got up, the woman was very beautiful. Doesn't that make you feel good? You see, they too were putting a prize or a premium on exterior beauty. But that's not how the Lord works. The Bible says that God looks at the heart. Now, don't misunderstand me. God is not saying you can't do the best with what you got. We're supposed to do that. There are some churches that say you can't wear makeup or it's a sin. I kind of got it figured. If some people don't wear makeup, it may be a sin. It's okay to do the best you can with what you got. The Bible's not saying that here. But the real measure of your person is not your face, it's not your physique, it's not your finances, your fragrance. It is your heart. It's developing the character of Christ. It's becoming a person who has a heart like Jesus. That's on display in Psalm 23. Look at David's heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, Samuel, he reviewed seven of Jesse's sons. And in a way, David's father disrespected him by not even inviting him to the anointing party. In a way, that was a dishonoring. It was a disrespecting. He was out tending the sheep while his brothers were at the party. Because evidently, Jesse didn't think David could possibly be in the running. The word the youngest or least of these means that he's the runt of the litter. He's only 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. We don't know exactly, but he's just the baby. So he couldn't possibly be in the one. And yet God was looking at the heart of this young shepherd who desired to make God his shepherd. Well, let me ask you an applicable question. Have you come to that place in your life where you have focused on Jesus as your good shepherd? You see, Jesus echoed Psalm 23:1 in John 10:11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I've laid down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Have you come to that place where you've developed your faith and you have this longing to follow Jesus as your good shepherd? Now, my friend, let me tell you again, I have a deep concern that there are a lot of people who have an intellectual knowledge about Jesus, but they don't have a heart connect to Jesus. There are a lot of people who may miss heaven by about 18 inches. That's the difference between your head and your heart. That's the difference between knowing about Jesus and being in love with Jesus. So check your heart. Do a heart exam this morning as we come to the characteristic number two. God uses people who develop their faith, and God uses people who grow in obedience. God uses people who grow in obedience. Now, the problem with Saul is he was disqualified from being king because of his disobedience. evidently, Saul, this man who stood head and shoulders above the rest, he became very prideful. He thought being king was now the Saul show. As my mom used to say, maybe he got too big for his britches. Or another one of my favorite sayings is, the peacock of today is the feather duster of tomorrow. That's what it says in the Bible. Pride goes before a fall. If you think you're big and tall, then you're positioned for a fall. The scripture says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So I would urge you to understand, God wants you to be an obedient, humble person. Saul became disobedient, and the result is he was disqualified, his heart filled with doubt, he was eaten up with depression, and he is defeated and dies on the enemy battlefield, all because of his disobedience. That's the root of his problems. Now, in contrast, let's look at David, this humble, trusting, obedient shepherd boy. And he is following the Lord and serving his agenda with his very best. Look again on your worksheet to Acts 13, verse 36. But when David had served God's purpose, you see, David lived on God's agenda, not his. David wanted to serve God's purpose, not his. So when David had served God's purpose in his generation, then he fell asleep. His life journey was completed. David's theme song was Trust and Obey. Well, what about you? Have you come to that place where you have said, Lord Jesus, my shepherd, I trust you and I will obey you. I will be your faithful following little lamb. Now, there are lambs in the Bible, and then there are goats in the Bible. When I grew up, we had both. We had a lot of goats. We had about 1,000 goats at one time, and my dad had a bunch of sheep, though, too. And they're looking alike at a distance, but they're totally different animals. Sheep, pretty docile. Sheep is vulnerable. They can be a little lamb. They're really cute, and you can almost cuddle up with them. But a goat, it's got a maverick spirit. A goat, that's why they call him Billy Goat Gruff. Man, that goat is hard to deal with. They'll get out of every fence. They eat on everything. They tear stuff up. Now, which are you? Are you God's little faithful, obedient little lamb or a maverick goat? Always compromising, always crawling under the fence. You see, God invites you to trust him and then obey his rules. That's his theme. If you obey, you'll be blessed. But if you disobey, you'll be blasted. Jesus said it like this in John 14, 21. If you really love me, you will obey me. Let me give you an example. When you love the Lord and he invites you to be on his team, you have to play by his rules and boundaries and requirements. That's why obedience is required. Let me give you a sports analogy. I love basketball. When I grew up, I had this desire to be a Larry Bird basketball player. Man, I played basketball all the time, never was very good, always the sixth man on the team. But I love basketball, and I was a particular fan of Coach John Wooden. John Wooden was the legendary coach at UCLA. John Wooden to basketball is what Bear Bryant would be to football, except even more. Did you know that John Wooden played for Purdue, and he was the first college player to ever be a three-time All-American in basketball? Spent 30 years at UCLA, and in one stretch, in 12 years, he won 10 NCAA championships. Certainly a record that would hardly ever be equaled. But listen to what he required. He had a system. He had rules, he had discipline, and you had to toe the line if you played for Coach John Wooden. Well, they were in this string of winning every national championship, but there was this young man who lived in New York, and he was the number one recruit in the U.S. that year. He could shoot the eyes out of the basket. He could jump out of the gym. He was about 6'8", and he was phenomenal. And he wanted to play for John Wooden and win a championship. John Wooden wanted him to play at UCLA. So they had the sit-down recruitment talk. And this guy had a beard. And John Wooden just explained. He said, we have rules and structure. We're a team together, and we allow no facial hair. The young man said, Coach Wooden, I'm the top recruit in the country, and I'm not going to shave my beard. John Wooden said, Well, I respect your decision, and I hope you respect mine, and I hope you'll have a great career playing at another team. He got up and left the meeting. You did it the coach's way, or it was the highway. Now, what did that young man miss out on? He missed out, because of some facial hair, on winning a national championship, because the next year and the next year they won. You see, that's a picture of us, friend. If you have that billy goat gruff spirit, if you have that maverick spirit, I'm going to make my own rules, set my own boundaries, I'm going to do it my way, then the Bible says when you disobey, you position yourself for a blasting instead of a blessing. I would urge you now to observe number three. Not only does God use people who develop their faith and obedience, but God uses people who pursue purity, who pursue purity. Now, think about this with me. David said in Psalm 23, verse 3, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." In other words, God does not want you to bring shame to His name. Now, we all know that David was a man after God's own heart. We all know that David did great things for God, but anybody who knows any biblical history knows that David did not bat a thousand, did he? His most famous mess up was committing adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. Put on your outline, if you would, Psalm 51. And I would refer you to Psalm 51 because in Psalm 51, we find there David confessing his sin. Now, when David messed up, he did what we ought to do. When you mess up, you ought to fess up, and then God will clean you up. That's how it works. And David, in Psalm 51, he messed up. He messed up royally. And yet he fessed up. He admitted his sin. He didn't play games with God. He didn't play dodgeball with the divine. He said, "I own my sin. I take responsibility for it." And then when you do that, you know what happens? God will clean you up. And God cleaned him up. And he restored him to the pathway of purity. And God allowed him to be used for his purpose. Now, I would suggest to you, my friends, that God chooses to use pure vessels, and he does not wink at the dirt and the sin and the pollution in our lives. Let me give you just a real fundamental illustration of this. I have here a goblet, a glass. It's kind of a special glass. Mary Ruth and I got this when we got married. 38 years ago, this was our crystal set. We've never actually used it, but it really, really looks good. You know how those wedding presents go. But it's a very valuable crystal goblet. It has value economically and emotionally. And in my other hand here, I have a plastic Dixie cup. Caroline Norris, would you come up here just for a moment? This is totally unrehearsed. Don't try this at home, of course. But Caroline, if you'll come up here just for a moment. I want you to imagine that you have a burning, piercing thirst, Caroline, and you really need some water to drink. And I've just described to you the sentimental value, the economic value of this beautiful crystal goblet. And then this is a 2-cent Dixie cup made of plastic. If you were thirsty, which would you choose to use?
This one.
You would?
Yes.
Kind of hurts my feelings. But I totally understand. Thank you, Caroline. And I bet you'd make the same choice, wouldn't you? Who would drink out of a dirty cup? You see, our life is a vessel, friends. And the Lord expects us not to be fancy, but to be faithful, to be obedient, to be pure. That's the kind of person He wants to use. God doesn't care about your illustrious family background. He doesn't need your talents and your abilities. Do you know what He wants? He wants your heart obedience, your faithfulness, and your availability to serve His purpose. He can use a Dixie cup. That's all He needs. So you be that for Him. You be a person of purity. Now let's just imagine that you're struggling in this area. Let's just imagine that when you turn on your computer, you're not guarding your gaze. Let's just imagine that you're dabbling with websites that are filled with pollution and that are ugly and that are abusive to other people. They're pornographic. Let's just say that at night or when you go to a hotel, you get on those cable channels that are premium channels, and you're watching some stuff that is polluted. And anything is polluted is that which is not pure. Polluted stuff just pulls you away from the Lord. And if that's the kind of diet you've been dabbling with, then cut it right there. Guard your gaze. The Bible says your eyes are the gate to your heart and your spirit. And God doesn't want to use a polluted vessel. He wants you to be a pure person. And if you will be that pure person, and even when you mess up, if you'll fess up and ask Him to clean you up, He will do that. Well, let's look at one last characteristic. God wants us to be people of faith, obedience, purity. And number four, God uses people who are willing to prepare. God uses people who are willing to prepare. Imagine this. Here is David. He is called away from the sheep to the anointing party. Son number eight, already disrespected and dishonored by his father. He walks up to Samuel, and this awesome man of God says, "You're it, son. I'm going to anoint you with holy oil." So David goes down on his knees, and can't you just see young David? He pours this oil over his head. It drips down onto his shoulder and onto his coat and to his chest. And he gets up, and what does he do next? He's just been anointed king. He gets up, and what does he do next? He goes back to watching the sheep. That's what he does next. You see, he won't become king for 13 years. There's a 13-year delay in his being anointed until he becomes king. What is that a time for? That's the time for preparation. So he goes back to the classroom of shepherding the flock, and what does he learn there? Well, one day he's out there shepherding the flock, and up comes a bear. Now, all he had was a shepherd's staff, and I don't know how he did it, but he didn't have a 357 Magnum. He didn't even have a good bow and arrow. Maybe he had a slingshot. But he took out a bear with his bare hands. He didn't run, but in faith, he tackled the task. Another predator comes up one day, and this time it's a lion. Even a female lion weighs 300 pounds and is a killing predatory machine. That lion is going to have a lamb for lunch, and David said, "Not on my watch." And in faith, what does David do? He goes up and somehow he takes on that lion. I don't know if he has a sword or a spear or whatever, or a club, but he takes the lion out. So now he's prepared when he meets a man named Goliath down in the valley of Elah, bellowing blasphemous statements about the Lord his God. David, knowing that he's been prepared because he's already taken down the bear and the lion, he's not afraid of Goliath because he knows God has prepared him and used him. Indeed, he was ready when his time came. Later, he becomes the armor bearer for crazy Saul. Not only his armor bearer, but his music therapist. You know, Saul has these evil spirits that would come upon him, and the only thing that would make him calm down is when David, the sweet singer of Israel, would start playing his harp, and then somehow Saul would calm down, but then he would get all upset again and take a spear or a javelin and chunk it at David like he's throwing a dart at a board. For years, Saul pursues David. What did David learn at that time? How to deal with difficult people. He learned wisdom. He learned how to escape from his enemies because David turned everything into a classroom of preparation. And I want to make the same suggestion for us. Maybe you're in a classroom of trial and tribulation right now. It says in James chapter 1, thank God for every trial and tribulation because those trial and tribulations develop within us the character of Christ. Maybe you've got a wayward child or there's a health difficulty. Maybe you're dealing with an emotional difficulty or a rupture in a relationship or some financial issues. It doesn't really make any difference. Whatever you're dealing with, let that become your classroom of preparation for God to use you. Turn your Sunday school classroom, turn your school classroom, turn your boardroom into God's classroom so that He can prepare you to use your life in a way that would bring honor and glory to Him and expand His kingdom. Listen to what happened to David. Because David was prepared, he defeated Goliath, he was crowned king of Israel, he evaded his enemies, he not only unified, but he expanded the kingdom of Israel, which is the kingdom of God. He set the foundation for the future temple, and he became the key link in the lineage of Jesus, who's the singular Savior of humanity, all because he was ready to serve with a heart of faith, obedience, and purity. Well, here's the bottom line. Make the last note. Here's the point. Right now, God is calling your name. God is calling your name. Jesus put it like this: "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear much fruit." You see, God right now sees your heart. He sees your potential. He invites you to join his team and pursue his glorious purpose. Let's pray. Father, thank you for David's life example. And thank you, Lord, for knowing our hearts, looking beyond our flaws and our exteriors. Help us even right now to see ourselves as you see us. And help us right now as your children to hear your invitation to follow you with faith and obedience and serve you with our best. Guide us now to respond in humble faith. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.